Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two.
Gilmore on a big step.
Oh,
brother. Lead Toledo Ernest. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I am Jason Mann, and with me as always is Rich Craich. Rich, great to be back with you.
Yes, indeed. We are, I think, what are we in the final stretches here of our top 50, and then we're going to finally reveal our new top 50. But yeah, we have a few more names to go over, a few more guys to go over, so a little bit more work to be done, but the finish is almost there. I see the finish line. It's near.
Indeed. It's been a journey, but we're glad to take it. It's been fun to look up.
It's been awesome. I mean, it's... Yeah. We kind of took a risk with doing it as kind of our off-season thing of saying, like, hey, look, there's not much to do in the off-season. And I think it's been an unmitigated, you know, success. It's been awesome, and I think people are loving it. And I can tell our growth numbers and all that sort of stuff, and more people saying they're listening, more people into the thing. So, yeah, it worked perfectly, exactly as we wanted it to do. So,
yeah, Rich, I always like how optimistic you are about the show. On the podcast, I like how optimistic you are about the show every time. You know?
I love it.
You're always so positive about how we're doing. You know, every show is the best show. You know, you're not that positive offline, I don't think.
No, I'm not. Yeah, and wrestling. I think it's because I do that wrestling podcast, and the whole time is just like, I hate this. This all sucks. But like basketball, I still love. So
there you
that's
go.
Fine. It's not like I haven't become a jaded like smark of the basketball world yet.
There you go. Well, fair enough.
And now this thing just got really meta, and so just move on.
All right,
go
we will move on
in a different direction.
We'll go ahead and introduce our guest. Then returning to the program is Adam Cribbley. Adam, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we are going to travel back even further than we've been going for most of these top 50 episodes, looking at the top 50 players of all time. It is Dan Issel. He was a power forward and center from 1971-1985. He played for the Kentucky Colonels in the ABA and then the Denver Nuggets for 1 year in the ABA and then the rest of his career in the NBA. High on top of the Denver Nuggets career list in many categories, I guess the Colonels as well, since they didn't last too long. He is overall ABA and NBA. He is 22nd in win shares, 34th in win shares for 48, 120th in box score plus minus, 93rd in value over replacement player. Those would not cover some of the very early years of his career. If you look at just the NBA, he is 130th in win shares and 42nd in win shares for 48. He is a one-time all ABA first team player and four times on the second team. He never actually made an all NBA team. He had 10 seasons in the top 10 in win shares per 48. Four of those were NBA seasons, and then he had an ABA season where he was in the top 10 in value over replacement player. So the bulk of his case is in the ABA, although he does have some – I think he has a pretty good NBA case. We kind of determined before that we were going to be considered for this, you needed to have a case based on your NBA numbers, and then the other things would sort of boost you up. So he's kind of the test of that. Some of the other rankings for the Bill Simmons Pyramid, he is 76th. And for the Slam Magazine 500, he is 106th. So Adam, what do you think about Issel's top 50 case?
Well, Issel was one of those, you know, very good, maybe not great players, who I think suffered from the fact that he was playing, you know, he was kind of out of position as a power forward center, but in Kentucky, he's kind of playing second fiddle to Artis Gilmore. He goes to Denver, he plays second fiddle to David Thompson, and then Alex English and Kiki Vandeweghe. And he always seemed to kind of be that second or third player on some really good teams, but never the exceptional teams. And he never, you know, never making an All-NBA first team, I think, is first or second team, is, I think, a mark against him, except for that you know, he's playing behind he's competing against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Moses Malone and later in his career against Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, he, you know, there's some pretty staunch competition for those top two teams. So I think he's another, as you know, as with all of these guys you've picked, really an interesting discussion. Again, balancing ABA and NBA and looking at how the numbers maybe don't reflect what we think of him as a player.
Yeah, he was a great shooter for his size, ran the floor well, and he was one thing about the fact that he was able to switch between power forward and center, that was pretty rare at the time, being able to kind of do both fairly effectively, as you mentioned, playing power forward next to Gilmore in Kentucky, and then being an undersized center for most of his career. Later on, you know, in the 80s, the Nuggets became, you know, very much the run and gun team that they, you know, are kind of most famous for. Those Nuggets teams generally were pretty good, although, you know, obviously they weren't great. They didn't make it too far in the playoffs most times. He was incredibly durable. He missed only 24 games in 15 seasons. And, when he retired, he was fifth all-time in the ABA, NBA all-time scoring list combined. And then he's 10th today still. I mean, I don't think he's thought of as, you know, that level of player. But, you know, 10th all-time in scoring, it's nothing to sneeze at.
That was something that was really interesting. Yeah, I was watching a video, it was like an NBA TV production or whatever, and that fact just completely caught me by surprise. They said, you know, they're talking about, and he retired as, you know, the fifth all-time, and I was just like, really? Like, I have to check that just to make sure. And then, yeah, like you said, Jason, you know, obviously he's been passed up by a few guys, but really not that many. I mean, 10th all-time, I don't think if I told anybody to name the top 10 guys in the NBA that I feel like fairly surely they'd be able to get, you know, a lot of – I do not think anybody would give me Dan Issel. Unless they were from Denver or Dan Issel himself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really just do not think that many people would say, yeah, of course Dan Issel's like a top 10 all-time ABA and NBA like score. It's hard to fathom, especially when you see the guy play too. You know what I mean? Like, he has a very interesting kind of rugged style. As you said, really good shooter for his size. Master of the head fake as well. He was so good at getting to the paint and then just head faking a bunch of times. A guy would jump eventually and that's how he would score. But yeah, it's very... It's not really rugged and it's not very finesse. It's just kind of weird. It's like clunky. I don't know. It's very odd that he was able to get as many points as he was.
So he wrote an autobiography in the 80s, like right after he retired. And I was checking that out earlier this week, and I love this phrase he uses to describe himself. He says that I was a short, slow white center with an eighth grade head fake. And I just thought that was awesome. I was like, yes, absolutely. That's him. I was reading somebody else said, I can't believe the head fake works. And it, you know, like you mentioned, Rich, it seems like every time and no one's jumping in the air after it, but it would just get guys enough off balance that he could go by them or over them. And, you know, he did. He just had a very, you used a great term there, a very kind of clunky game. He wasn't pretty. He rarely, you know, he's one of those guys, I think, that at the end of the game you look and all of a sudden he put up, you know, he scored 24 points and had 10 boards. And you're like, when the hell did he pull down? You know, when did he do that? And he just didn't really stand out. It's not exciting dunks or, you know, big three-pointers. He was kind of the king of the mid-range and the pump fake and the layup. And he didn't impress, but the numbers he puts up are crazy.
Yeah, he actually, in an SI quote, it's funny that you mentioned that, another SI quote, he says, here's his quote about the pump fake. He says, it's the worst fake in the history of basketball, and it works every time. I can't believe anybody goes for it. So, I mean, a little self-deprecating, but maybe not the worst fake in history. But, yeah, no, it's certainly not something that, like we'll see guys, and we've talked about guys that just have unbelievable ways of faking people out or getting people jumping. And he's really not. He just kind of, like, moves his head up, and for some reason people jump, and he's got a point every single time. He's also, any highlight video you watch, he's always on the floor. He's always falling. He's, like, taking charges. Yeah. He's, like, going for rebounds over guys. Like, clunky is pretty much the best way that I could describe his entire game. It's just, he's just always on the floor, always running into guys, just doing stuff like that.
He did seem to have a nose for the ball. I mean, and the way that he kind of moved, the way he kind of cut, the way he's able to, like, he sets these really subtle screens.
Very subtle screens. That was something in all the highlights that I watched. Is like, you see him kind of walking up slowly. It's like, in today's modern game, like, you see it all time, you really just kind of think, okay, that's nothing. But yeah, he's kind of like walks up to the guy and then just dives right away, and he's always open.
Yeah, just some really good movement with and without the ball.
when he also didn't really play with a top flight point guard either. You think about those Denver teams, and they had great wing scorers, but he never had anybody he's working the pick and roll with. Or, you know, you think of the some of the guys that are ahead of him on that list, the Moses Malones of the, or the Karl Malones of the world. He didn't have a John Stockton giving him the ball. The Nuggets were notorious for just having horrible point guards for much of the early 80s, you know, with a few exceptions, but he didn't have anybody feeding him the ball in perfect position. So he's working and he's diving and he's he really scrapped his way to those points.
You leave Rob Williams out of this. He was a fine point guard. Yeah. They really don't. It's really just don't look at their point guards. It's really bad. I think 1 year Alex English led the team in assists, so that can tell you just as much as you need to know about the point guard play of the Nuggets. So.
Well, luckily with the pace that they played, there was a lot of opportunities for everyone got a chance to eat there in Denver. So
yeah, was he on that team that scored was 180? 180 some in 83. He must have been on that team then.
Yeah,
right?
He was on team. The Pistons. Yeah, the famous, the highest scoring game of all time, the Pistons and the Nuggets. Yeah, I believe it was 83, and that was still before Pistons discovered defense. So that's a crazy game to watch.
At the time then he's a 35-year-old scrappy, clunky, white, slow, can't jump center on a team that scores 180 points. That's crazy.
Yeah. So what do the advanced stats say, Rich?
Advanced stats about Doug Issel here. We got comparisons to era and positions. So this is centers, power forward centers. I try to do both. And this is strictly NBA. I just wanted to kind of look at the NBA because, as we said, we're going to try to do that before we kind of add in the ABA afterwards. But, yeah, so this is strictly NBA. He's second in points per 36, 58th in rebounds per 36, 26th in effective field goal percentage, fourth in win shares per 48, fourth in win shares total, and then sixth in value over replacement player. All time, though, he stacks up very well amongst like power forwards and centers. He's fifth all time in points per 36. Unfortunately, rebounds, he gets passed up a lot, 226th in rebounds per 36, 93rd in effective field goal percentage, but he kind of picks it up here, 14th in win shares per 48, 26th in total win shares, and then 29th in value over replacement player. So obviously a great score, not a great rebounder. The shooting is there, but it's not quite as good. But and one of the big issues there is he's a guy who's, as Adam said, a lot of mid-range, a lot of long-range stuff, not always right around the basket. So that'll hurt his effective field goal percentage there a little bit. But overall, he stacks up pretty well in win shares and value replacement and points. I mean, the points is prolific, and we've talked about that. So it's there. It's certainly there.
Yeah. Now, does he get bonus points since he didn't have three of his front teeth and he looked like, well, I think Bill Simmons calls him a vampire.
It's a hideous man.
When he pulled him out. Yeah. If you look at the pictures, does that give him bonus points? Does that give him a bump there?
I don't know. If this were the hockey top 50, he probably would. I guess all the guys wouldn't have teeth if it's hockey. So,
he's a pretty unfortunate looking fellow, though, especially in his final years.
Yeah,
And then when he was I was watching. They were showing on NBA TV. They were showing the Nuggets Sonics game for the Dikembe Mutombo Hall of Fame, and I completely forgot that he was that the Nuggets coached that, and it was just oh boy, he's an unfortunate fellow. He was a great player.
He was nicknamed the horse. He was nicknamed the horse for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah, that's he's an unfortunate fellow. But there you go.
So Adam, anything to add?
No, I think Issel's just he jumps out of the jumps off the page with his scoring, and I think that again, this is why I really like this list is because before talking and digging into those advanced stats that you don't kind of think of Issel, but I think that I think he definitely has a case just sheerly top 10 in scoring in basketball in pro basketball history. I think has to merit at least some attention there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we've talked in other episodes about just there's so many great big men, and it's tough to crack that list. But he definitely, he definitely has some merit. There's no question.
Yeah, he's on the fence for me. I would have to really. Yeah, and I guess when we get to that final list, we'll kind of look at it. But yeah, for me, he's really on the fence. Not that he doesn't. I mean, there's obviously merit to him, but there's just so many guys on this list that it's tough. But then, Adam, like you said, I mean, being top 10 all time in points, and especially that he holds up with, points per 100 possessions, which I didn't do there, but he holds up pretty well in there because you can kind of assume, oh, well, he played on those Denver teams. So, of course, he, racked up a bunch of points or whatever. But it's really, even NBA and even looking at per 100 possessions and per 48 minutes and all that sort of stuff, he still stacks up really well as an all-time great scorer. You can't take that away from him. That's definitely there.
Yeah, for sure. So So thanks. Thank you, Adam, for joining us. And thanks, everyone, for checking us out. You can find our podcast at harvardparoxysm.com. You can find it on the HP Network iTunes feed or our own feed, Over and Back NBA. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Over and Back NBA. And you can check out, do discussion of any of the players that we talk about or any interesting NBA topic that you're interested in is at overandbacknba.com. So thanks, everyone, for checking us out. We're back again soon.